Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hello, good evening. Here we are. Deserted Island Disc here on Sheffield Live, another Wednesday night, another sunny Wednesday night here. Again, for the listeners around the world, want to know what the weather's like in Sheffield on a Wednesday, it is sunny again. So all these listeners in Australia, listening tonight we've got listeners in Iceland, would you believe? And we're here for Deserted Island Disc, so it's Helen Hines, he's here tonight, she's my guest. Helen, hello, good evening, how are you?
Hi Ben, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And then we've also got a special guest producer in the studio. We've got Tracy Jackson joining us tonight just to make sure the buttons are working, everything. Shout hello.
Hello.
thank you, Tracy. So, hi, Helen. Yes. So, Helen was born in Fermanagh in 1992. And you're going to tell us about your life, and we've got songs to play throughout the next hour. But to start with, yeah, just tell us a bit what life was like when you were first growing up and your earliest memories and, yeah, how was life there?
Yeah, no problem, Ben. So, as you said, I grew up in County Fermanagh. I lived out in the countryside, outside a village called Rosslea. Come from a very big family, so I'm one of six children. And my dad's a farmer, so we lived on a farm. And my granny lived with us as well until I was 14, until she passed. Oh. But big family.
Yeah. So, was it you were near another town? How far from the other town was you?
So from Rosslea would be about maybe 3 or 4 miles.
Okay.
And that's a little village. Yeah.
And so you suppose you had to make your own fun then, is it? You had your own family to have fun with and, yeah, was that what happened?
Yeah, looking back, I suppose we would have felt like we were missing out not living in a town. But, you know, now looking back, I can really appreciate the childhood we had. We kind of made our own fun. So my brother was very creative in creating football tournaments and building huts for us. Or around this time of year, we'd be pretending that we were in Wimbledon ourselves when Wimbledon was on. So there was a lot of kind of sport that would play between ourselves and a lot of, good memories with the siblings.
So where are you in the six? Which number are you?
I'm number three, middle
child. So right in the middle. So yeah, you got is it older brothers that would organise the? Is it Gaelic football you were playing on it? Yeah.
Yeah. So we played Gaelic football with the because we lived out so remote. The neighbours would come over and would have a real game into the late night until Granny was calling us in to go to bed. It was normally my older brother Thomas would coordinate a lot of the competitions we'd play between ourselves.
So the farm, was it in the family for long, or was your granddad and their farm as well, yeah?
Yeah, so the farm, I suppose, has been handed down throughout the generations, and both my mum and my dad are from big families. There was eight in each of their families. So my dad was the youngest of eight, so he's looked after the farm.
Right, so he was left to do it, the last one to do it.
Yeah.
And he's still doing it now?
Yeah, still doing it now. It's his absolute, he loves being outside. It's where he's happiest, I think. So yeah, still farming away and trying to rope a couple of my brothers in to help when he can as well.
So your brother's still living there as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, your first song choice is kind of links your dad and those times, doesn't it? Do you want to tell us a bit about your first song choice?
Yeah, so one of my kind of fun memories looking back is we only had one TV, so my granny would often be in control of the remote. Yeah. So we'd often watch TG Cahir, which is an Irish-speaking programme in Ireland, and there'd be country music on or traditional Irish music. So although I mightn't have appreciated back then, it's now brings a lot of fondness to me. So the song I've chosen is one of those country songs. And also father-daughter dance at my wedding day, so a special one.
Oh, lovely. So it's Your Wedding Day by Jimmy Buckley.
Your first time I saw you, I loved you with all my heart. The first time I held you, I knew someday we would part. Next Saturday morning in church, I'll give you away. In my eyes, happy tears I can't hide on your wedding day. It's hard to imagine a baby so tiny and small is now a young lady of beauty so pretty and tall. I know you look lovely in your wedding dress and bouquet. When you walk down the aisle with your husband on your wedding day, your mother, she nursed you through many a heartache and pain. And if you were to ask her, she'd do it all over again. She's watched you grow into the woman that you are today. She's so happy and proud of her daughter on her wedding day. It's hard to imagine a baby so tiny and small is now a young lady of beauty so pretty and tall. I know you look lovely in your wedding dress and bouquet. When you walk down the aisle with your husband on your wedding day. The man you will marry, I'll be proud to call him my son. He's your partner in life you've chosen above everyone. I know he loves you and cares for you every day. Like your mother and I cared for you in the very same way. It's hard to imagine a baby so tiny and small is now a young lady of beauty so pretty and tall. I know you look lovely in your wedding dress and bouquet. When you walk down the aisle with your husband on your wedding day. When you walk down the aisle with your husband on your wedding day. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's your wedding
Thank
day.
Thank you. That's Jimmy Buckley and Your Wedding Day, which is the choice of Helen Hines, who's my guest tonight on Deserting Darling Dish. So it's a show that we have every Wednesday, 7 till 8, and it's for people that were born in the island of Ireland and now living in South Yorkshire, and they tell us about their life and their journey to Sheffield. So we'll get you to Sheffield eventually, probably, Helen, I reckon. We've got time for all that, haven't we?
Yeah, all been well, we'll get there.
Good. But at the moment, we're still back in Fermanagh, where you grew up. So tell us a bit more about that. What kind of... So you were born in 1992, so it was... as you're growing up, you kind of got through... So the Good Friday Agreement was like 98 and stuff, so you're kind of in a bit more of a peaceful time in that part of the world. But obviously still must have been affected in, well, many ways.
Yeah, so for those listening, I suppose, that aren't familiar with where Fermanagh is, where I live, actually, Rosslea is very much on the border with County Monaghan. So a few fields away from my house, essentially, is the border. So looking back, I suppose, being in the country, we were often probably naive to what had gone before us. But I do have some memories of helicopters with the army landing in our front field.
Wow.
And as children, I suppose a helicopter landing your front field was, oh, we need to go out and look at this, but we didn't really know what it meant.
But so it's quite exciting as a child, isn't it, to start with?
Yeah, you better believe it. We'd all be out staring across the wall trying to see who was going to get out of this helicopter, who it was, and you know, probably, as I said, naive to everything that had gone before. Obviously, being on the border as well, back then there was checkpoints, so we'd be going across the border to Monaghan because we'd, family there, various reasons, and there was checkpoints, so you'd get stopped and your car might be searched. So I suppose that's my few memories of that time, but I suppose it was kind of instilled in us the importance of moving forward and trying to, you know, be inclusive to everyone you met.
Yeah. And it certainly sounds like that's kind of more like that now. So when you were describing kind of how your family are now and you know, having friends now from all sides in the north,
I suppose education at that time, primary school, secondary school, there was a lot of cross community events, so in primary and secondary we would have done cross community joint school visits to various trips, and I suppose there was a lot of work going on to try and improve the relations between the religions at that time.
Do you think that's something from that time, like, because did you older brothers have your older siblings have that experience as well, or was it just kind of in your time and there?
Yeah, so we're all quite close in age, actually, right. So we're like steps of stairs, so they would have had a similar similar experience to me, I think, similar memories from that time.
Yeah. Oh, good. So, I mean, you were telling me earlier about your studies, so you went through the secondary school, then you did your A-levels, and you were saying that you studied Gaelic, and how was that, and why did you choose Gaelic, and how was it?
Yeah, so it's kind of a funny story how I ended up doing Irish. So when we went to secondary school, I actually went to school 26 miles away from Rosslea. So I went to school in Enniskillen.
Okay.
And I'd be up at the crack of dawn.
Why was that? Why did you...
So it was just the school I'd got into. It was Mount Lourdes Grammar. It was a good school.
Okay,
and one of my friends was going. I think that was the main driver. It wasn't really for the education, but my best friend was going, so we decided to go together. And you had to pick which language you wanted to do. And our options were Spanish, German and Irish.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, absolutely Spanish. I can't wait to go to Spain when I'm older and, you know, be able to speak to everyone. But they came to me and they said, actually, we're oversubscribed for Spanish. Would you mind doing Irish?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, all right then, I'll do Irish. And it ended up being probably my best subject, and I kept it on day level as well.
Great. And so you got to go on like field trips, and you were saying, to different places?
Yeah, so when you study Irish at GCSE A level, even in younger years, you get opportunities to go to the Gaeltacht, which, for those who aren't familiar, it's basically the Irish-speaking areas of Ireland.
Right.
So the one our schools kind of encouraged us to go to was in Ranafas in Donegal and Teelin in Donegal.
Right, so right in the north, north tip, yeah.
Yeah, so you'd basically go, and it might be for two weeks, and you'd live in an Irish-speaking household.
Yeah.
You're expected to speak Irish. If you weren't making any effort, they'd certainly tell you you weren't. And you'd live with basically a Banantee, which is kind of like a housewife who would make you your meals and encourage you to speak Irish. So it really brings your language on when you kind of have to try and make effort to speak it.
That's great. So you'd be, how old would you be when you did that? Like 16, 17?
I think I was 12 the first time I went.
Oh, right. So, okay, yeah.
But I had such a good time that I think I ended up going three more times.
Yeah.
I was very lucky to get those opportunities to do it,
So you obviously did okay in your A-levels?
Yeah, I got an A-star in Irish, so it served me well.
Very good. And what do you do next at uni?
Yeah, so it's funny then. I suppose I'd done science and Irish for A-level, and I kind of knew that sciences was where I saw myself going. So my sister had been doing nutrition at Coleraine, and I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do, and I ended up thinking I'd like to look after people in some way, so I ended up dietician was what I ended up doing.
Okay, yeah, so similar to your sister. And Coleraine, for people who don't know, that's still in the north, and it's about a couple of hours away from where you grew up.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of still contact to go back and contact with family. So I suppose if you grow up in a country, you'd probably like a family girl, and like that was important to you. And even, I suppose, going to Coleraine was a big step at the time to be there.
Yeah, I remember going to Coleraine, and it felt like really far away for us. Even though it was only like 2.5-3 hours. So it was a big thing. But when I was picking university, I was kind of between Coleraine and Liverpool was one of my other options.
Yeah.
But coming from rural Ireland in the middle of the countryside to go to Liverpool felt like beyond
too,
my
too
reach.
Too big a jump.
Yeah. And I'd actually only ever been on one flight ever before.
Right.
So the thought of moving over there was too daunting. So I was really, I was really happy to go to
Coleraine. Smaller steps, yes.
Yeah.
But did you still kind of feel you stuck out as a country girl, even at Coleraine, or was it a big jump from people from, well, they're supposed to be all over the world, weren't they, still?
Yeah, so when I went to university in Coleraine, you get put into halls and random allocation, and I was hoping I'd fall in with people who were like me, and I couldn't have been any luckier. So I had a lovely group of girls. One girl from Derry and one girl from Donegal ended up dragging me to the Kayla. I'll give Kayla a wee shout out. But she moved in and we clicked straight away, and we ended up going to football together, Gaelic.
Oh.
I was lucky. I met a lot of other country folk up there as well.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a good place to go, isn't it? I think a lot of people need to get lucky at university, like who you meet in that first week and stuff. You can make or break it, can't it, for people. So, well done. That's a good shout.
Yeah.
So your next song kind of takes us, I suppose, thinking about leaving Ireland, doesn't it? So do you want to say a bit about that?
Yeah, so I suppose once I'd graduated, started looking for jobs, and back then there wasn't a lot of jobs where I was from in County Fermanagh, so we were kind of encouraged to open our minds and look further afield. So an email came through that there was a job in Durham, and I had a friend from Fermanagh, Eve, who had just moved there. So I applied thinking, oh, there's no harm getting experience, and I got the job. But I think the song that I've chosen, Crossroads, is because I had a really, really happy life in Ireland. I didn't necessarily want to leave, but I felt like it was the right thing to do to get experience. So it turned out to be a brilliant decision. I love this song. It reminds me of that time.
Great, so we've got Niamh McGlinchey and Crossroads.
The first time I saw you, I loved you with all my heart. The first time I held you, I knew someday we would part. Next Saturday morning in church, I'll give you away. In my eyes, happy tears I can hide on your wedding day. It's hard to imagine a baby so tiny and small is now a young lady of beauty so pretty and tall. I know you look lovely in your wedding dress and bouquet. When you walk down the aisle with your husband on your wedding day, your mother, she...
Kept in the right path, was taught to do the right thing and not to do it half. Now I'm at my crossroads, and my future to behold. And for once in my life, I am wishing to be told. The decisions, they are mine to deny. My past is set goodbye. I am drawn in all directions, and my thoughts are stories high. Am I ready for the working world? I am home still at last. Young to care right now, for the moment I will pass. Where do I go from here? I can't pick up my mind. Do I take a sip of root and leave my dreams behind? Or do I go on an adventure? A path I do not know. Oh, I am at my crossroads and don't know where to go. Oh, I am at my crossroads and don't know where to go. Give me inspiration, let me know which path to choose. For at the end of the day, some you win, not some you lose. I have to your challenges, I know I'll be just fine. Where do I go from here? Can't pick up my mind. Do I take a sip of root and leave my dreams behind? Or do I go on an adventure that I do not know? Oh, I am at my crossroads and don't know where to go. Oh, I am at my crossroads and don't know where to go. It's time to fly the nest, spread my wings, go with the breeze. Please can someone tell me, I am begging on my knees. Stay right and you're always right, I think I'll go that way. No, it, that's the scenic route, right here is where I stay. Where do I go from here? I can't think of my mind. Do I take a sip of root and leave my dreams behind? Or do I go on an adventure on a path I do not know? Crossroads, don't know where to go. Where do I go from here? I can't make up my mind. Do I take a sip of root and leave my dreams behind? Or do I go on an adventure on a path I do not know? Oh, I am at my crossroads, don't know where to go. Oh, I am at my crossroads, don't know where to go.
That's Niamh McClinchy, who's doing Crossroads, which is the choice of our guest, Helen Hines, who's my guest this evening on Deserted Island Disc. So Helen's been telling us about a journey from growing up in Fermanagh, and we've just about to leave, the island of Ireland, and you got a job in Durham.
Yeah. So essentially an email came through to say there was a job going in Durham, and one of my friends, Niamh, had just moved there for her job. So she was like, absolutely, come over, you can stay with me. So went over, done the interview, and got offered the job. So that was how I ended up moving to Durham.
And what does the job involve? Just tell us a bit about the job then and what you do now, really. You might as well talk about what your job currently.
Yeah, so a dietitians essentially assess, diagnose and treat in nutrition-related conditions. So at that time I was starting work in a hospital, so it was Darlington Memorial. So basically seeing people who are admitted and assessing their nutritional needs and making sure that we're giving them enough nutrition, whether that's by mouth or through various routes like feeding tubes. So that's led me what I work at today. So in Sheffield I'm a specialist in tube feeding, and I go drive all around Sheffield, and any adults that have a feeding tube, I'll be looking after them and assessing their nutritional needs and making sure they're kept well through their nutrition.
So yeah, is it enjoyable? You must have some hard days as well, or things. Yeah,
it's a good question. Now, so the job that I do at the moment, we see a mixture of patients who are rehabbing, so they're going to recover from their illness. So people perhaps who've head and neck cancer that's curative, and they're treated at Weston Park, and then they have a feeding tube, but then they may have that removed. But we also deal with patients who are have palliative conditions, so like motor neurons disease or terminal cancers and various other conditions. So it can be sad at times, but I think one thing I really take from my job is the people that I look after are so resilient. I learn a lot from them. Every day is a school day, I think, working in healthcare. So I love it, and I take a lot from it. I couldn't imagine myself doing anything else.
Oh, well done with that work. It's great work you're doing. So keep it up. So you were in Durham or Darlington for a couple of years, and then what happened next?
Yeah, so I was quite lucky in that Niamh was like, when I got the job, she was very excited. So Niamh is from Fermanagh as well, so we're basically sisters. And she was like, you know, we could get a flat and live together. So she done all the organising, made my life very easy. And we ended up living together, and it was the best 2.5 years ever. We experienced a night out in Newcastle very soon into me moving over.
Was that like Fermanagh?
No, it was very different to going into the local in Rosslea. It was how I compare it to my experiences now is like when I was in Times Square on holidays.
Bit of a shock.
Is
it the big market? Did you go to the big market? Yes. There's some sites there, and they have.
We just located where all the Irish ones were going.
So he gets in that field.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I suppose, what you've done in Sheffield, isn't it? So how did you get the job in Sheffield? So how did that move happen?
Yeah, so I kind of, the hospital I was working in up in Darlington, smaller hospital, so I wanted to move to a bigger trust and get a bit more experience. So again, my other friend, Sarah Jean, in the same friends group from Fermanagh, she had moved to Sheffield, and she said, why not Sheffield? And job came up and applied, and yeah, that's how I ended up in Sheffield. Knew very little about Sheffield. The only thing I knew about Sheffield was that growing up, Granny and Daddy watched the snooker.
Yeah. It's a good job Sheffield's got the snooker. There's a few guests that's got like, yeah, all I knew was the snooker. So yeah, Sheffield's got to keep the snooker, haven't we? Keep people coming.
Yeah, I'd be devastated to see the snooker leave Sheffield.
We all would. So, well, we're going to do your next song, which is The Parting Glass by the Dubliners. Tell us why you picked that one.
Yeah, so when I moved to Sheffield, one of my friends, Michael McIver, you'll know him well.
I do, yes.
So we were in the process of setting up a football, Gaelic football club here in Sheffield, and Michael said, there's a girl from Antrim who I think you'd get on really well with, Eimear McCauley. So it was nearly almost like a blind date moment. I got this girl's number, and I was going to text her to meet up. We met up and we clicked from day one, and she's a very good singer, and this is a song that she often would sing in the Grapes in Sheffield, so good memories from that.
Okay, let's do that then. So the Parting Glass, the Dubliners version.
Of all the money that ever I had, I spent it in good company. And of all the harm that ever I done, alas, it was to none but me. And all I've done for want of wit, to memory now I can't recall. So fill to me the parting glass. Good night, and joy be with you all. Oh, of all the comrades that ever I had, they are sorry for my going away. And of all the sweethearts that ever I had, they would wish me one more day to stay. But since it falls unto my lot that I should rise and you should not, I gently rise and I softly call, good night and joy be with you all. Oh, if I had money enough to spend and leisure time to sit a while, there is a fair maid in this town that sorely has my heart beguiled. Her rosy cheeks and ruby lips, I own she has my heart in thrall. Then fill to me the parting glass. Good night and joy be with you all.
The Parting Glass there by the Dubliners. That's the choice of Helen Hines here. So he was telling us about you coming to Sheffield and the community there. So it sounds like you got straight into the Gaelic football and the Irish community there. How did that happen?
Yeah, so I think when I moved here, coming, I suppose, from a big family, Irish connections and, you know, people from home, it was really important to maintain those when I moved here. So one of the first things I did when I got there was Google Irish in Sheffield, Gaelic football teams in Sheffield, you name it, I Googled it.
Yeah.
So that's where I found that there was going to be a meeting in the Grapes. Niall Murphy, he's our chairman, had put a message in on Facebook, I think it was, about meeting up in the Grapes to see if we could form a Gaelic football team. So went along to that.
So you were like the inaugural meeting of that, yeah? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah, good timing, yeah.
Yeah, it was a great time to come to Sheffield, 100%. I couldn't have timed it better.
Because that, I mean, the team's doing so well. Let's talk a bit about that. So, yeah, Michael, to start with. So your friend Sarah, who you knew from Fermanagh, she didn't play or she wasn't...
If she listens back to this, she'll laugh. She definitely came along, but she calls herself a very proud social member.
Okay.
She took a few knocks at training and she promised she wouldn't come back.
It's a rough old game, isn't it? I can see that. Do you get stuck in injuries? Do you hit people?
Yeah, I've had a few yellow cards in my time. But yeah, I think I never would have imagined how much I'd want to get stuck in. But I think we're a very close-knit club. We're very proud. We want to progress. So yeah, I certainly get stuck in.
So you got passion, 100%. And protecting your teammates as well. Yeah.
Usually playing the half-back line. So being a back, you have to be fairly sturdy and support with the defence. So yeah, no, we try our hardest to get the wins.
So the team's doing well. Tell us about the successes you've had. So, I mean, it's a very new team, isn't it, really, for, you know, for a town the size of Sheffield, really, for a team to start. Yeah. So what year was that, 2018?
So 2017 was when that meeting was held, yeah. We've been really successful in that time. The ladies this year, really proud to say that we won the Yorkshire League for the first time. Woohoo! So that was brilliant, and we have our championship semi-final this Saturday. So yeah, lots to look forward to.
Good luck for that. Where are you playing?
We're playing. It's a home game in Sheffield.
Home game. So Warminster Road, is it?
Warminster Road.
Yeah, I've been up. I've not seen a women's game there, but I might get up there. But I mean, for anyone that's interested, it's a fantastic game to watch, and it's so fast and yeah, exciting games, aren't they? So, and always plenty of goals and scores, isn't they? So usually, what's your scores usually about 20 points, 15 points?
We normally get a few goals in. On a good day, we'll have a few goals of a lot of really talented forwards. So, we tend to do well.
No, I'd say, yeah, anyone who's never been to a Gaelic football game, it's a great thing to do. So, yeah. And are you still, he's looking for new players? Does that start again next season? You need for new players, or, yeah, people get involved?
Yeah, so we welcome new players at any time. Yeah, I had a bit of reputation back in the day for trying to rope everyone, whether they're colleagues or people are passing the street, into playing. So yeah, we'll always take new players. But yeah,
and they don't have to be Irish, do they?
Absolutely no. So it's one of the great things about the club, of people from all over the world. I'll not even start to list the county or countries, but we've had people as far as Canada playing the team, South Africa. So yeah, we welcome everybody.
We've got so much to get through, but I think we should say that, there was one special person you met at the Gaelic football, wasn't there?
Yeah, so met my husband through the grapes and through the football club. So yeah, I met Niall in the grapes.
Fantastic, yeah. And that's, how long have you been married now?
It'll be 2 years now in August.
Oh, congratulations. He's a lovely lad, Niall. I'm sure we'll get him on the show one day. He's from the County Mayo, which is my favourite county, where my family's from. So, but yeah, we'll get Niall on, because he plays the whistle and the flute, doesn't he? So we'll get him on doing some of that himself. So, but it's your show tonight. So we'll do your next song, which is the Cherry Cinnamon songs. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so when I moved to Sheffield, I fell in with a really great gang of girls and lads. So this Cherry Cinnamon was almost like our club theme tune at that time. Brings a lot of good memories, and it features at every social event that we go to. So yeah, it's a great one.
Very good.
Let me your story, let me your head. Don't let me down for the love. got to run the TV, I pop up and away. Where the music is my fantasy. Take me up, up, up and away. Fantasy turns to reality. Now, Captain, take my head. Lead me to the disco there, where I can be all the things that I want to be. Oh, let me hear you say now. Hey. Hey. Here we go again.
Jerry Cinnamon. I can just imagine you and the team jumping up and down, dancing to that. Is that like an after show, after game thing you do? So you play on a Sunday, generally go to the Grapes and dance to that.
Yeah, that's it. You'll see us dancing to this song. Yeah, it's a great one.
Isn't it? Yeah. So talking more about your role your role within the Gaelic football team. So you've got an official role?
Yeah, so one of my roles in the club is Irish Language and Cultural Officer. So in the last few years, we've really tried to, you know, link in with the culture in the city. So the likes of the Irish Dance School, they'll come and dance at our dinner dances. And we also, in the last couple of years, in Shop na Gaeilge, which is Irish Language Week, in the Grapes, we hold an Irish Music and Culture Night. So we'll have little bits of Irish language and try to teach people to use commonly used words, like ordering a pint of Guinness.
Go on in. How do you do that?
Boilum Point of Guinness, little.
Good to know.
Take note for your next time in.
Yeah.
And we'll have music and the dancers as well. And Anne has been, Anne the landlady in the Grapes, their ham sandwiches given out. And that's just in our happy place.
Yeah. No, it's a good day. I've seen you a couple of times there. So I've been there on those nights with people dancing in the streets, literally, aren't they? So they're out there on Triplet Lane.
Yeah.
Dancing away. It's a good stuff. And then you organised all that. I wasn't aware that was mostly you. And
So I certainly wouldn't take all the credit for it. I help coordinate, but we've a great committee, really great bunch of people who are behind all the work of the club. We meet up regularly and we try to, you know, build on what we've created. So we've lots of ideas on how we can build on the culture going forward.
That's good. So every year it's kind of getting bigger and better, and I suppose the number of players and I suppose the quality of players must be getting better as well, aren't they? If you're getting up there winning stuff, keeps going strength to strength.
Yeah, I think on the pitch, absolutely, we've had loads of big successes. And outside of the football, I think we've run a lot of really successful events. Obviously, as a club, we try to fundraise for the club. But equally, we'll have a lot of social events, as well as charity events. We do charity fundraising for the club as well.
Yeah, because Sheffield's quite unique in the size of it, really. It hasn't really got an Irish centre or, you know, a place really where like Irish people you could go to. So there's, and I mean, so I'm from Manchester originally, and there's like three or four Irish centres and places, and even like places like Doncaster have got an Irish centre, but Sheffield doesn't. So it feels like you and St Vincent's have kind of filled that void a bit of Irish people to get together and keep that culture going. Is that fair to say, you think?
Yeah, I think the club, we always call it, it's like a community now. And I think it's really great to see how it started in very humble beginnings in a meeting in the Grapes to what it is today. So, it's the Grapes is almost like our community centre. We go there after games for, foods, catch-ups. Yeah. If we've family over, we go bring them there because we can guarantee some of our friends or footballers will be in there. It's just a nice meeting point. It's a really homely place. Yeah.
And I suppose Michael it feels like Michael was a big catalyst for it starting, wasn't he? Michael McIver, who's manager of the Grapes, was out there. And there's that lovely shirt that's on the wall there where people have signed it and meant so much for it to go in there. So it's like, just tell us a bit about that if you can.
Yeah, so Michael was the ladies and men's manager for all these years. This year he's no longer managing the ladies, but he's such a big influence in the club. He does a lot of work behind the scenes, which he is very humble about. But yeah, when I first met Michael, it was when we were setting up the club. You could really see his passion and also his experience in football, and that's obviously evident by the success of the club. But yeah, he's a really good person. He's probably one of my best friends in Sheffield, so yeah.
That's great. Good. So we'll move on to your next choice. So the next choice is a special one. So it's Zombie, which is a song by the Cranberries. But you were telling me really that why it became a favourite of yours was because you hear it in the Grapes. Yeah, so tell us a bit about that. So
a lady called Sharon sings the song Zombie in the Grapes, and it's always a request. If we see Sharon in the Grapes, it's definitely when we go over and say, when's Zombie
too.
Coming on? And a lot of good memories of probably all the friends and club mates we've had over the years, just standing in that room, arm in arm sometimes, just dancing along to it. So yeah, it's a great tune.
Yeah, so I messaged Sharon and said, you know, like I meant, said what you said, really. It's a kind of a song your favourite and you like her version as I do. And I asked her if she's got a song recorded of it. And anyway, so she sent me a version that she's recorded with JB Burney. And we'll play that and then we'll talk a bit more about Sharon and Jamie's work after this and where you can catch Sharon. So let's hope this works. Sharon doing Zombie.
Complete.
Oh, that didn't work, did it? That's my fault. Let's try again for Sharon playing Zombie. Let's see what happens here. There we go, much better.
Another head hangs slowly, child is slowly taken, and the violence caused such silence. Who are we mistaken? Well, you see, it's not me, it's not my family. In your head, in your head, they are fighting with their tanks and their bombs and their bombs and their guns. In your head, in your head, they are crying. What's in your head? In your head, zombie, 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 yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry about that. Some technical issues there with that that track. I'm not sure what's happening there. So sorry about that. We'll try and get that one back later in the show for Zombie. But in the meantime, we've got Helen Hines here, who is our guest tonight on Deserted Island Disc. It's a show where we have people from Ireland and they now living in South Yorkshire, and they tell us about their lives and their journey here. So we've made it as far as, well, we're nearly at the present day, are we? Are there things that are going on in your life here in Sheffield?
Yeah, so I suppose you mentioned earlier that I'd met my husband, Niall, in Sheffield. So I met Niall back in September 2018. I'd been up watching one of the men's football games up in Leeds, and we came back to the Grapes, and Niall happened to be in with his dad, who was over on holidays, and he was singing a song called Cliffs of Dunneen, and I'd never heard that song before, and he sang it really, really well. Without trying to sound too cheesy, at the end of the night I just said, I've never heard that song before, you've done it justice. And that was essentially the end of our conversation that day.
Yeah.
But our paths crossed then the following year again. So yeah, that was when I first met him. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to try again with Zombie and Sharon Dredd's version. So here we go.
Zombie, zombie, zombie.
you see, it's not me, it's not my family. In your head, they are fighting with their tanks and their bombs.
Hey, absolutely lovely. That's Sharon Dredd's music, and she was accompanied by Jamie Burney of the Celtic punk band Ferocious Dog. They're fantastic. So Sharon, as we were saying, Helen, you see it's quite often in the grapes on a Friday or Saturday night, and she'll bang out songs, just so amazing, isn't she? Just to be in that small space with her, very honoured, aren't we, to have such a talented singer. But she's got some gigs coming up. So she's got a gig on the 12th of July at the Dukeries in Worksop. And then she's doing Rock for the Fox fundraiser for Sheffield Hunt Saboteurs on Sunday, 27th of July at Gorilla Bar in Mexborough. So all our Mexborough listeners, get down there and you'll have a real treat there for seeing Sharon Dredd. So thanks for doing that for us, Sharon. So back to you, Ellen. So we're just talking about your courtship. And meets the lovely Niall.
Yeah, so we met in the grapes, as I mentioned, and didn't cross paths again until the following year. Niall lived in Bradford at that time.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
And he used to come down to the grapes just for visits now and again, and he heard about the Gaelic football club that had just been set up. And he hadn't played in a few years, but he thought, you know what, maybe I'll give this a go.
Yeah, so I mean, and so when did he move to Sheffield? And did he move for you?
So he eventually did move for me, but I think his heart was always in Sheffield. He loves Sheffield. Yeah, he loves everything about Sheffield. So I think he was happy to come back. I didn't have to force him too much. But we met, and he joined the football club. At that time, I was actually training for a marathon. So Niall suddenly pretended that he liked to do long distance running.
All right.
So we'd done a lot of running training together. Now and again we do get an odd 10k together, but we got to know each other really, really well. Then of course COVID hit, and that was around the time we started, we got together properly, just before COVID.
Because it's a funny pub, the grapes, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing, lovely people in there, and like really friendly, and you know, it's a mixture in it of all ages, but I expect his friends wouldn't expect him to meet the love of his life in there, would he?
Yeah, his friends used to always joke when they'd be talking about how his dating was going. He's probably going to be listening in now, but you'll never meet anyone in the grapes, is what they used to say to him, and he proved them wrong.
Yes, he has done it spectacularly, yeah. And how was the wedding and the family? So, yeah.
Yeah, so we got married back in Ireland. Obviously, as I said earlier, coming from a big, massive family, it wouldn't have been fair to them to ask them to come to this side of the water. And to be honest, I always wanted to get married in my home church, chapel. So I got married in St Tierney's in Rosslea, my home village. And that's where my grandparents and everything would have got married, and where we were christened, etc. So yeah, it was really nice to come home, and of course dragged a big gang of our friends from Sheffield, and you know, all the people who've been involved in our lives over the years together. So it was great.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And a good bunch up from Mayo.
Good gang from Mayo up, and good gang from Fermanagh. Yeah, with people from all over, and the Sheffield crowd were probably the loudest tables at the back.
Don't surprise me. Well, we're running out of time. That's all we can talk about. It's gone so quick again, Helen. So you just got one last song. Do you want to tell us quickly what this song means to you? This is the life you're going for.
Yeah, so I often request this. I just think it's a really lively, really good tune to listen to, and it just kind of, it's a real feel-good song, so hope everyone enjoys it.
This is Alive, Amy MacDonald. Thank you, Helen. It's been wonderful.
Thanks.
Dancing to the music vibe, and the boys, just the girls with the curls in their hair, while the shouting men are just sit way over there. And the songs they get louder, each one better than before. And you're singing the songs, thinking this is a life. And you wake up in the morning, and your hip is twist the size. Where you gonna go? Where you gonna go? And where you gonna sleep tonight? And you're singing the songs, thinking this is a life. And you wake up in the morning, and your hip is twist the size. Where you gonna go? Where you gonna go? But where you gonna sleep tonight? Where you gonna sleep tonight? So you're heading down the road in your taxi for four, and you're waiting outside Jimmy's front door, but nobody's in, and nobody's home till four. So you're sitting there with nothing to do, talking about Robert Ryger and his motley crew. And where you gonna go? And you're singing the songs, thinking this is a life. And you wake up in the morning, and your head is twist the stars. Where you gonna go? Where you gonna go? And where you gonna sleep tonight? And you're singing the songs, thinking this is a life. And you wake up in the morning, and your head is twist the stars. Where you gonna go? Where you gonna go? And where you gonna sleep tonight? Where you gonna sleep tonight? Up in the morning, and your hip is twist the stars. Where you gonna go? Where you gonna go? Where you gonna sleep tonight? And you're singing the song, singing this is a life. And you wake up in the morning, and your hip is twist the stars. Where you gonna go? Where you gonna go? Where you gonna sleep tonight? And you're singing the song, singing this is a life. And you wake up in the morning, and your hip is twist the stars. Where you gonna go? Where you gonna go? Where you gonna sleep tonight? And you're singing the song, singing this is a life. Where you gonna go? Where you gonna go? Where you gonna sleep
tonight? Amy MacDonald. So you've been listening to Deserted Island Discs. It's been wonderful with Helen Hines here this evening with us. And so join us next week. Next Wednesday we'll have another guest on here on Deserted Island Discs. Have a great night, everyone.